In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
One of our chief aims during this season of Great Lent is to cultivate the virtue of humility. Humility is considered to be the chief virtue for us Christians. And of course, we see the opposite of that so often projected in Scripture in the opponents of Jesus, their pride, which leads to their self-righteousness. It's the chief sin against which Jesus preaches and teaches and condemns. And so, from the very beginning of the Great Lenten season, in fact, even before the Lenten season began, as we started the period that we call the Triodion period, it's the book of, I know many of you don't know what it is, but it's the book out of ancient times before the internet and iPhones and everything, where you can pull up the texts on your phones or print it out. There was a book called the Triodion. It comes from three odes that were in it. And this is the book that we open on the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee. And we have, of course, that famous gospel reading as we begin to prepare for Lent. What do we hear about? We hear about the humility of the tax collector versus the pride of the Pharisee. And so at the very beginning of this season, even our preparation for this season, we are taught by the church to be humble, to cultivate this virtue of humility. And that lesson continues today in several different ways, both in the reading that we had today from St. Mark's Gospel, as well as our commemoration of St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus, as he's referred to, and his famous work that we commemorate today, the Ladder of Divine Ascent. You see the icon in the back of the church when you came in. It's the icon of the Ladder of Divine Ascent, and I'll speak about that in a minute. But we learn today, again, in several ways, how to cultivate, or that we should cultivate, this virtue of humility. We see it, first of all, in the father of this young man who was demon-possessed. We see the humility with which he approaches our Lord, because our Lord says to him, yeah, I can heal this son of yours if you can believe that I can do it. And what is the father's response in humility? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, he's admitting that, yes, I believe. I do believe you can do it, but there's that sliver in my heart that just has some doubt. Help me with that. And our Lord responds to this man not only because of the faith that he did have, but because of his admission of the faith that he didn't quite have yet. And our Lord, brothers and sisters, we hear it time and time again. Again, go back to the story that began all of this, the publican and the Pharisee. Our Lord never turns away from humility. Our Lord never turns away from a humble heart. And the quickest thing that can drive him away, on the other hand, is a proud spirit, a proud heart, that sense of self-righteousness. So this father is an example to us of humility. Even more than that, though, as an example for us, is our Lord himself, as is always the case. He is our prime example. Because what does our Lord do throughout Mark? And we heard it at the end of the healing today. Jesus says that he wouldn't have anyone know what he did. Several times in Mark's gospel, our Lord says, don't tell anybody, he tells his disciples. Don't tell anybody about what I did. It's so common in Mark that our Lord says this, that scholars talk about and debate what they call the messianic secret. Why was Jesus being so secretive? Well, part of that, brothers and sisters, is because of his humility. Because he wasn't going out and seeking the fame. He wasn't going out and seeking the fortune from his healings. He was living a life in humility, in obedience to God. And when God decided it was time to act, after our Lord gave the ultimate act of, showed the ultimate sign of humility, ascending the cross, When God decided it was time, then it was time. And God sent out the holy apostles. And this man who said, "Don't let anybody know. Don't tell anybody about these powers that I have." Now, brothers and sisters, you and I, 2,000 years later, we set our clocks based upon the estimate of when he was born. Such is his influence. And that ought to be a lesson to us, especially in this day and age. Because the temptation for us is what? To run our mouths. And to tell people, you know, there's the joke among Orthodox clergy that people will start their YouTube account to proclaim the Orthodox Church and the Orthodox teaching and condemning everyone outside of it before the chrism is even dried on their head. Right? So when you put the oil of chrism on their head, that's so common in our society that we think that we should just go out and blurt out and we have something to teach and offer everyone. But yet, what did our Lord do? He said, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." He was quiet. He kept his mouth shut. But he showed people by his actions. And that is what we ought to learn from this so-called messianic secret. We have this saying, of course, in English, right? Actions speak louder than words. It's not to say that we can never talk to people about it, that we shouldn't share about our faith with other people, but we should be cautious about how we do that. We should make sure that we're doing it in humility and not out of pride, as we so often may do. And that's why our catechumens know, I so often advise them to be careful with online orthodoxy. You know, if the internet was so valuable that God needed us to be out there on the internet spreading his word, then why did he send his son 2,000 years ago to die on the cross in the Roman Empire? God knows what he's doing better than us. So one of the things that we ought to do as Orthodox Christians is to work on living our own faith in humility. God will spread his message the way that God wants to do it. You know, one of the things that I think impresses me the most about the Orthodox Church, one of the reasons that I remain steadfast in the Orthodox faith, and I think it's the reason perhaps why we've had so many converts of late, is because the church doesn't need you. The church was just fine before you got here. It went on for 2,000 years and it didn't need you, and it spread throughout the world. And that is freeing, brothers and sisters. Now, that doesn't mean that you have the right, on the other hand, to be lazy and not come to church and not do your part, because the church can do better, can flourish, if all of us are living the faith in humility. If all of us are being obedient to God's word. But that's different than the church needing us. You know, St. Mary, just this parish, has been around for like 95 years. It'll probably be around 95 years from now in some form or another. Not because of any one of us of needing it, because of the faith that is being proclaimed. And so, again, that should be freeing for us. It's not a put-down. It's not saying your life doesn't matter, but it's saying that we are part of something that is bigger than us. And if it's good enough for our Lord Jesus Christ to say, you know what, I'm going to practice being quiet. And I'm going to show my faith. I'm going to show who I am by my actions, so it is good for us. And let me conclude then, brothers and sisters, by pointing you to the icon in the back. When you leave, check it out. What is the ladder of divine ascent? There's 30 rungs, 30 chapters in St. John's book, talking about how one progresses from down on earth and eventually up to heaven. obtaining one virtue at a time. And as Father Cal talked about at our retreat this weekend, it's not like you get one virtue and then you move on to the next. It's constant. You're working on this. So by the time you get to the 29th rung, you can still be working to some degree on the first rung. But it's used, this ladder, as a metaphor about how one goes from earth, the earthly life, living as a mere human being, like a biological animal, to living as though we were created to be in God's image and after His likeness. But notice in that icon that there are people that are being pulled off by the demons. And they're not just the people at the bottom that are getting pulled off. You get up towards the top and there are still people that are being pulled off that ladder and falling down to hell. Why is that? It's because of a lack of humility. And I would argue the farther we get up the rungs, the farther we get, the more likely it is that we become prideful and self-righteous. So make sure that we continue to cultivate this great virtue of humility. Because as we Orthodox know, the judgment comes at the end. We don't believe that we're just baptized and everything's good and we're going to go to heaven. We don't believe that we make some sort of decision for God and then everything's good the rest of our lives, the so-called once saved, always saved. The judgment is at the end. You have to finish the course. You get up to that 29th rung and you start reaching for the 30th and you become prideful. Watch out. Watch out. So brothers and sisters, let us today, as we are nearing Pascha, as we come upon this fifth week of the fast where we're going to have some extra services as a reminder to us to get on track spiritually as we approach this great feast of feasts. Let us remember, go back to the beginning where we started, the publican and the Pharisee. Cultivate that virtue of humility. Let us learn from this Father today who had the humility to say, yes, I believe, Lord, but there's still a part of me that's struggling. Help me with that. That's humility. Let us be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, in God's time, He'll spread the message. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.